Pete Fornital back with you on the Sunday Show, celebrating the 75th anniversary of radio this week. We'll pick things up in the days just before rock and roll with Van Morrison at 92.3 K-Rock.
Killer. Jerry Lee Lewis. Justin? Where is Justin now? What's Justin doing now? Justin, where is Justin now?
Come aboard.
Hi, everybody. This is Alan Freed. Back in 1951 in Cleveland, we coined a phrase that became the biggest pop musical era in the world. The words rock and roll.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is Alan Freed, the King of the Moondoggers. Welcome again to our Saturday rock and roll party.
When the only thing you heard on the radio was the music that the old folks liked, and you thought you should like it too. And then around the summer of 55, we heard a new sound that made us all come alive. He introduced the music that they used to call rhythm and blues. He said, yesterday is gone, roll on. Something we could call our own, and you felt the rhythm flowing down into your soul. He was the king of rock and roll.
Oh, I remember the way it started to grow, how we waited on lines for the Paramount show. So I know I was there, I was part of the original cast.
How the balcony would rumble and the girls would scream. Chuck Berry played a song about Maybelline. It's a fad, it's bad, and that's it, it would never last. Oh, he was wrong and yesterday is gone. Roll on, music, roll on. He gave us something we could call our own, and you felt the rhythm flowing down into your soul. He was the king of rock and roll. Just a little bit south of L.A. Sweet little 16 became Surfin' USA.
Decided to say goodbye. And I see Chuck, Rick, and Elvis, they still rolled on. And it's 20 years later and the king is gone. They never even gave him his piece of American pie. And yesterday is gone. Roll on, music, roll on. They gave us something we could call our own. And you felt the rhythm flowing down. He was the king of rock and roll. And yesterday is gone. Roll on, music, roll on. He gave us something we could call our own. And you felt the rhythm flowing down into your soul. He was the king of rock and roll.
One's for you, Alan Freed, wherever you go.
Whatever you do,
Cause the things that doing today will make a scene out of you.
Catch your water, water. Catch your water.
Pay all the blues.
Catch your water, water. Catch your water, water.
I got to pay all the blues, even though I already paid my dues. Listen to me, Mr. DJ. Hear what I got to say. If a man is making music, they ought to let his record play.
Catch your water, water.
I love your new song.
Catch your water, water. Catch your water.
Hey, old blue.
Catch your water, water. Catch your water, water.
No matter where I go, I never hear my record on the radio. And it goes like this.
Catch your water, water. Catch your water, water. Catch your water.
Got a great new record. I can't get through to you.
Catch your water, water. Catch your water.
Hey, all the blue.
Catch your water, water. Catch your water, water.
No matter where I go, I never hear my record on the radio. How about this new Mercedes Benz? That ought to get it on. Well, thanks a lot, man. I'll play it all day long.
Catch your water, water.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones. Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
Yeah. long as they play till dawn. Nothing but blues and Elvis and somebody else's favorite song. Give us some funked up music, she treats you nice. Feed us some hungry reggae, she'll love you twice. The girls don't seem to care tonight. As long
at 92.3 K-Rock, Steely Dan and FM concludes part two of our radio tribute. We'll finish it up with a true FM radio legend right after these messages. Pete Fornital back with you on this special edition of the Sunday Show celebrating the 75th anniversary of radio. My thanks to John Platt and Don McGee for putting it all together. About 10 years ago, our friend Christine Lavin passed along a spoken word tape to me about the early days of FM radio in the late 60s. It's called The Ballad of the Sandman by Mike Agronoff, and it captures a large part of the spirit of FM that we try to preserve each week here on the Sunday Show at 92.3 K-Rock.
When the broadcast room's a living tomb of cracked acoustic tiles and you're left alone with your microphone and your playlist and your dials and the digits in the studio clock past midnight creep towards one, well, it's time to take the air once more, and the graveyard shift's begun. The day shift and the engineers have all left hours ago. You close the heavy soundproof door and set your board aglow. Cue the first two records up, settle in your chair, uncap and snap the transmit switch, and you're on the air. There's magic in the radio. Enchantment in the ether. A power born of mind and brain, and yet a part of neither. A power to be reckoned not in kilowatts or joules. A means to let a single voice touch half a million souls. But when you work the graveyard shift from 1 a.m. to 5, you start to doubt that anyone is out there or alive. The halls are lifeless, phone is dead, and there's nothing quite so lonely as to call with kilowatts and reply here, silence only. They usually stick the rookie jocks in the lonely graveyard slot, but me, I broadcast nights by choice. I like that shift a lot, because when I get the lonelies, as I do from time to time, I recall the Sandman's final show of 1969. 1960 radio was awful at its best. I grew up with Cousin Brucey and the Wolfman and the rest, and between the fast talk and the hype and the Acne lotion jingle and station breaks with sound effects, they maybe play a single. But that was all there was back then, and that was all we had. And nostalgia finds a way to sift the good from all the bad, and so intertwined was radio with fond scenes of my youth that it's tinted with a rosy glow that overlays the truth. Oh, and summer parties at the beach, and every high school date, and those midnight drives, and my dad's olds, and studying till late, are movies of my memory. And behind them, I still hear the Beach Boys and the Beatles and the Motown, oh so clear, to the counterpoint of DJ hype and ads for Rheingold beer. But then in 67, FM burst upon the scene, and what once played only Bach and Brahms became a rock fan's dream. Between the sparse commercials, they do three songs in a row, and album cuts and full-length versions played in stereo, and gone was all the mile-a-minute brainless DJ chatter and singing station breaks and other oral fecal matter. Instead, these guys, with wit and charm, told what they had to tell and spoke as if they thought that I might have some brains as well. I got to know them all by voice that summer, and come fall, I'd hung around the station till I got to know them all. Bill Clancy in the morning slot, Ann Stacy, Charlie West, and the Sandman. Now, he was different and apart from all the rest. Paul Sandman did the overnights. He had his special style. He was older than the others, been around a while. And he'd segue different album cuts in a stream of conscious run and do theme sets and live concert tapes. And, well, he made listening fun. And though he must have known my name, he always called me Kid. But he let me watch him work, and he'd explain the things he did. And once or twice, he snuck me in the studio late at night and let me cue the tapes and records up to my delight till I wandered back home, bleary-eyed as it was getting light. And while the record spun, he sat and talked of days gone by when radio was younger, and so was he, and so was I. And while round his lonely Kansas farmhouse, snowdrifts blew and curled, radio was a living color window on the world. He said, there was magic in the radio, enchantment in the ether, a power born of mind and brain and yet a part of neither, a way to take you miles and years by means unknown to science, but it's since become a jukebox, nothing more than an appliance. No, I can tell you got the itch, Kid. You'd like to be a jock. Yeah, give it up. The magic's gone. There's nothing left but schlock. You deal with all the crazies and the drugged out suicide calls, and the sponsors and the FCC have got you by the programming tells you what to play. They take no denying. You read copy advertising crap you'd never think of buying. The hours are long. The pay is squat. Vacations are... But then, the cut would end. He'd face the mic and weave magic once again. Well, sure enough, he read me right. I guess he could recognize a little of his own obsession shining in my eyes. And when I left for school that fall and higher education, my first step was to make a beeline for the radio station. Throughout my freshman year, I learned the ropes, paid my dues, engineered and did commercials, swept and read the news. By the time I was a sophomore, I'd earned a weekly show. I was on the graveyard shift, but I was on the radio. And I learned Paul Sandman was a name that every DJ knew. The Trade Rags did a story. He got a piece in Newsweek, too. And sometimes playing album sides from my deserted station, I'd tune in his show on my headphones just for inspiration. And so it was on New Year's Eve of 1969. School was out. They'd all gone home. The station was all mine. And there was I, the rookie jock, left holding down the fort, well-stocked with day-old pizza pie and coffee by the quart. They had me working triple shift from 8 p.m. to 8, playing records no one listened to while partying till late. And CBS had run lines nationwide out to Times Square. And at midnight, we'd switch over to a live broadcast from there to hear the famous ball come down and ring in the new year. By 11:10, it got so dead you just could not believe. Who the hell is listening to the radio on New Year's Eve? So I queued up Tommy, and that would kill a half an hour or so. Took off my shoes, plugged in my phones, and tuned in the Sandman's show. Something's different. Something's wrong. I knew right off the bat, he's playing straight top 40. His voice is sounding flat. There's dead air between his cuts, his spots all run too long. Inside of 15 minutes, I knew something there was wrong. I let him start a record and dialed up his private line. He answered with his call letters, and I replied with mine. Well, hiya, Kid. Hey, tell me, ain't you got a better way to spend your New Year's Eve with some broken-down DJ? Well, heck no, I'm on the air myself. Well, I got lots of time, and I listen to your show because it's better far than mine. But tell me, Sandman, what's with you? Is everything all right? Seems to me as if you're somewhat off your stride tonight. Everything is not all right, he answered with a frown. The Arbitron reports came out and our ratings have gone down, and Harry Stein in programming has determined that the way to get the ratings back on top is dictate what we play. So here I sit with list in hand that says at 10:15 I should play the Righteous Brothers, followed by the Cream, and then a public service spot, and then some Moby Grape. Hell, they don't need a DJ that could put this crap on tape. It's December 31st. The year is coming to an end, and with it ends a decade, and an era too, my friend. And in 27 minutes, I'll switch off to Times Square. When I return in 70, tune in if you care to hear how good the radio could be, if it would dare. He broke off at that moment to queue up another platter, and I said goodbye. The Who were almost finished, for that matter. And exactly 27 minutes later, more or less, on cue, I flipped the switch to hook us in with CBS. And while thousands in New York bade fond farewell to 69, and Guy Lombardo and his orchestra played Auld Lang Syne, I raised my slice of pizza in salute to the new year, and once more to the Sandman at the end of his career. When the network show was over with, I went back on mic. I did some inane comments about the future and the like. Did a station break, queued a record up, and then put my headphones on and tuned the Sandman in again. Welcome, he began, to 1970 radio. You've noticed in the past a certain blandness to this show? Seems Harry Stein's determined what your music taste should be. Well, you, Mr. Harry Stein. Nah, the FCC. I've had my fill of radio. This is my final hour. But the door's locked and bolted, and I'm on internal power, and I guess they'll find a way to get me out eventually. But until then, you'll see how good the radio can be. And then the music started, and the magic came on strong, and how the sequence brought to light a hidden meaning to each song, and where he got those tapes and records I'll never know, old favorites I'd forgotten, live recordings from some show. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can't always get what you want. Where have all the flowers gone? Da-do, Ron, 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 da-do, Ron. The Beatles singing German, Dixieland on 78s, Benny Goodman, Walter Carlos, Bessie Smith, and the Roommates. This is more than playing records. This is genius. This is art. This is something all should hear, and damn, I'll do my part. I open the equipment cart and stowed beneath the board and rummage through the junk there till I find the proper cord. Patch headphone out to preamp in, adjust the input power, and the Sandman show gets relayed out from our antenna tower. I reach out to the telephone, dial WBVA. It's answered there by Sharon Smith, their overnight DJ. Hey, Sharon, Paul Sandman's just flipped Harry Stein the bird, and he's putting out the best damn radio you've ever heard. Well, there's a brotherhood amongst the radio voices of the night. They'll stand behind a fellow jock they see he's in a fight. Sharon had to listen but a moment, then was gone to find a patch cord of her own to send the Sandman on. And then the phones that long I thought were dead began to light, as for miles around the calls came in from listeners in the night. Whence comes this wondrous music, they would ask, and I would smile. How come I pick it up on every station of the dial? And through the night, the signal spread from station to station as the DJ sent the Sandman and his magic across the nation. Till Sharon called me, laughing, shouting like she was on fire, saying, listen, someone's put the Sandman on the network wire. That's right. The line out to New York was still hooked nationwide. I flipped the switch to listen in and laughed until I cried. The Sandman must have reached some hero New York engineer who put him on the wire for the whole damn world to hear. There was magic in the air that night. Enchantment in the ether, a power born of craft and pride, and so much more than either. And all across the country sat the overnight hardcore and shared the Sandman's magic, till at 20 after 4 he stopped to say goodbye as they were breaking down the door. New Year's Day dawned cold and gray with just a touch of sleet. Many a jock by 9 o'clock found himself on the street. Me? I came off cheap. A reprimand was all I got. But New Year's night, a new voice broadcast from the Sandman slot. And since that night, the radio's been my occupation. I'm now a big-shot DJ at a major FM station, but when the hours start to drag and the night's going slow, I cue up an album side, crank up my headphone stereo, and tune the Sandman in on National Public Radio. And when the broadcast room's a living tomb of cracked acoustic tiles, and you're left alone with your microphone and your playlist and your dials, though the airwaves seem a graveyard of lifeless whitened bone, there's always someone listening in, and you'll never be alone.
Thing to look
by killing the first general, you would become a hero in the Muslim world.
Take you up here. Was it something that you said to the corporation guys upstairs? It wasn't the pressure. You never sounded down. It couldn't be the ratings. You had the best in town. Somehow I'm gonna find you, track you down. Gonna keep on searching around and around.